Well, good morning. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you would locate your Bible, we're going to be reading out of Ecclesiastes today. So if you find the middle of your Bible, Psalms, and then go to the right, just a quick book or two, and you'll hit Ecclesiastes. We're going to be reading through chapter 8 and into 9, just depending how far we get, how talkative everybody is. Ecclesiastes. While you're getting there, just by way of reminder, so this was written by Solomon, who was King David's son. And we all know the story that God asked him to ask, he asked Solomon to ask him, God, for something. What does he want? And he asked for wisdom. Not money, power, or fame, but wisdom. And God blessed him with that in abundance, and as a result, he also gained a lot of these other things. Are you there?
Amen.
Okay. So this first chapter begins with the topic of wisdom, of submitting to the king. I think our country and our culture doesn't really quite understand kings. Because, you know, we have a president, we have Congress, we have, you know, a unique form of government. But from a biblical standpoint, it's pretty helpful to understanding what a king is. And we have to come to the point where we acknowledge that God is our king. Jesus is our king. The king of all kings. Yeah, there are human kings, but they are subservient. They are under God the king. Jesus the king. And Solomon was also a king. And yet he's writing this and giving us some wisdom to really submit to the ultimate king, God. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "Who is like the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a matter? A man's wisdom illumines him and causes his stern face to beam." So he's kind of setting the stage, and we are to perk our ears up and kind of listen to what God's speaking at through here. So this morning's message is we're just going to read through and see how God communicates to us through his word here. "I say, keep the command of the king because of the oath before God." So Solomon's pointing out something that maybe is a little foreign to us, but the king is sworn to submit to God. In other words, God appoints kings, he takes them down. And this isn't the case on all the kings, but it's what it should be. "Do not be in a hurry to leave him. Do not join in an evil matter, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since the word of the king is authoritative, who will say to him, 'What are you doing?'" I think many of us are guilty of this. I know I sure am. Speaking to our human king, our president, you know, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
And of course, I've got better advice for him. You know, I've got, you know, he should listen to me. But Solomon's given us the wisdom is we need to be very careful about how we speak to our leaders, because they're there at God's pleasure. Whether they're doing right or wrong, they're going to answer to God.
Amen.
And we're going to answer to God because we're supposed to be under our king, our presence, our government, our leaders. But Solomon is saying, he's given us advice, don't join in an evil matter. And we do that. We do that. We do things that are against the law because nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to find out, or at least we think that's the case. We think we can skirt, I mean, I'm totally guilty on this. We can skirt some of the laws and rules because, you know, everybody's doing it or nobody's going to see or, you know, it seems like it's okay. And by doing that, we can find ourselves joining in on an evil matter. In other words, our our passion gets carried away and drawn out into the weeds where we shouldn't be. Verse 5, he who keeps a royal command experiences no trouble. In Romans 13, it kind of says the same thing. If we will pray for our leaders, we can have a peaceful life. For a wise heart knows the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every delight, though a man's trouble is heavy upon him. If no one knows what will happen, who can tell him when it will happen? Think about that. If no one knows what will happen, who can tell him when it will happen? In other words, we don't really know what our future is. Yeah, we know our big picture future, but how much of our society is engaged in trying to find out the future? You know, they go to mystics or palm readers or card readers and you know, tell me my future. We all want to know our future. But we should be asking the King, God, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what his will is, what his mind is. 8, no man has authority to restrain the wind with the wind or authority over the day of death, and there's no discharge in a time of war. And evil will not deliver those who practice it. So, you know, we only have so much autonomy and power and authority over our lives. And there's a lot of it we don't. And I hate this word. We're just going to have to submit to it at times. And it'll go well with us. 9. All this I have seen and applied my mind to every deed that has been done under the sun, wherein a man has exercised authority over another man to his hurt. We've seen this. We see this. People in power will exercise their authority, even their God-given authority, to another person's hurt. It's not right. And we see it, and we want to fight back. We want to fix it. We want to jump in the fight. 10. So then, I have seen the wicked buried, those who used to go in and out from the holy place, and they are soon forgotten in the city where they did thus. This too is futility, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. You know, I think the point here is vengeance or justice comes slowly but surely.
Slow death.
I'm sorry?
A slow death? Or if you...
Well, maybe more like the consequences and the punishment for our wrong deeds. We may be getting away with those wrong deeds for a period of time, but it's not hidden. God sees it. And it will be addressed. You know, God, the point is, and we all know this, but we need to be reminded that God is sovereign and he will execute justice. That should be a scary thing to those of us who are doing those evil deeds, but it can also be a comfort to us because sometimes we're really frustrated. You know, somebody we know, a neighbor, a friend, family member, whatever, somebody we don't even know. They're getting away with wrong things. They're causing problems either for us or other people. And we ask God, why are you letting this go on? Why are you letting this happen? You know, don't you see this?
Well, you know, he was talking about slow death. Well, when it comes to a prisoner who's going to be executed, you know, it takes like 20 years before they finally kill him.
Yeah.
And if you talk about somebody doing all wrong and what comes on, well, I knew a lady a long time ago that was into the methamphetamine, and she was just, you know, ticking off everybody. And one day, she disappeared. And 9 months later, some guys, you know, and this is down in Texas, where Matt dwelling a cave, found some plastic bags and parts and pieces of her.
Yeah.
So what she was doing, it came back to her big time.
Yeah. Well, evil will catch up with us, but I think the direction Solomon is trying to take us here is recognizing even the people that did that, they're going to have to answer God. Yeah, we all stand before Jesus individually and have to answer for our deeds, not the other person's. And I think that's an easy thing to forget. 12, okay, I was going down to 14, but you're right. Although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly. Yes, and amen. This is what we're called to do, is to fear God and fear him openly. That's why I've been telling the people that are getting baptized today. Jesus will acknowledge those that acknowledge him before others, and he will deny those who deny him before others. So today, when we stand at the river and we baptize, we're saying to the world, we're saying to the witnesses there, I'm a follower of Jesus, come what may. So. Where am I at, Don?
13,
thanks. But it will not be well for the evil man. He will not lengthen his days like a shadow because he does not fear God. There is futility which is done on the earth. That is, there are righteous men to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. On the other hand, there are evil men to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I say that this too is futility. In other words, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, an evil man gets blessed and a righteous man receives trouble. But when we look at that, we need to remember that God's in control. He sees what's happening. He has a plan. And as it says in Romans 8:28, that he will work all things to the good. So even those who are righteous, who suffer, who have that tribulation, who have problems, they suffer evil, God is using that, even that, to work good in your life and those around. It may not feel good at the moment. You may question, why are you doing this, God? Why are you allowing this? But this is why it is so important for us to have this anchor, the Word of God, to read it regularly, to hear His promises, to soak those promises into our hearts so that when we're struggling and suffering, that we can remember God's promises. And that's what it says. Hide it in your heart. Soak it into you. Okay, Don, help me out again.
15.
So I commended pleasure, for there is nothing good for a man under the sun except to eat, to drink, to be merry. And this will stand by him in his toils throughout his days, which God has given him under the sun. So our lives have been given to us by God. He alone knows that last day. It's on his calendar. It's that numbered day. 16. When I gave my heart to know wisdom and to see the task which has been done on the earth, even though one should never sleep day or night, and I saw every work of God, I concluded that man cannot discover the work which has been done under the sun. Even though man should seek laboriously, he will not discover. And though the wise man should say, I know, he cannot discover. We are totally dependent upon God. And he alone knows our future. And this is where faith comes in. That we have to have faith to keep putting one foot in front of another, even when we don't know what the future lies. But we have to trust in God, His mercy, His grace, His goodness, and know that He has that plan. He will work it out for us. And we may have to go through some sufferers, some evil times. But God is there. And this is the core of what we're trying to communicate here, is we submit to the King that our lives are in His hand. Moving on to chapter 9. For I have taken all of this to my heart and explain it, that righteous men, wise men, and their deeds are in the hand of God. Man does not know whether it will be love or hatred. Anything awaits him. So why be surprised when this happens? What we can control, though, hopefully, is our response to these things that happen. And that's where we circle back here and realize that we have to submit to God's wisdom, and recognize our life is in His hand. I think especially when we're younger, we think, oh, I got this, I'm in charge of my life, I'm under control, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And invariably, we learn the lesson that none of that's true.
Amen.
And unfortunately, sometimes that moment where we learn that kind of hurts. But it comes. Two, it is the same for all. There is one fate for the righteous, and there's one for the wicked, for the good, for the clean, and for the unclean, for the man who offers a sacrifice, and the one who does not sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. This is an evil done under the sun, that there is one fate for all men. What is that fate?
Death.
Death, yeah. Physical death. We all will physically die. Everybody. It's, you know, there's no exceptions to that. And once we do, Solomon tells us, you know, the impacting of our eternity is done. When we physically die, that's it. We can't, it's too late to come back to Christ. You know, you may have been told all your whole life, come to Jesus. But when you physically die, that's it. The future is cast. I know a lot of people have heard there's such a thing as purgatory where, you know, you get parked in it for a little while if you're not going to heaven right away. And there's ways to get out of it, and people can pray you out, and your spouse or your family on the earth can get baptized for you, and, you know, somehow you get to go. It's all kinds of wrong thinking, but right here is the truth. There's one fate for everyone, righteous or unrighteous, and that's death. Where did I leave off?
You're still on three. You just left off after the first second.
Well, I'm glad you came to church today. Yeah. I'm glad you came today.
Yeah.
I'll be lost.
I'm actually awake.
As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, and there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You know, truly, a lot of times we're under this misconception when we come to Christ, we have it all figured out all of a sudden, and we're no longer crazy, we're no longer insane, we no longer do wrong things. That's wrong thinking.
Yeah.
The difference is, we now have a mediator, an advocate with the Father through Jesus. He's our defender. And it's because of what He's done for us that God sees us as righteous. You may not feel righteous, you may not think you're righteous, but if you're in Christ, you're righteous. You're a saint. For whoever is joined with all the living, there is hope. Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead do not know anything. Nor have they any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten. Indeed, their love, their hate, and their zeal have already perished, and they will no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun. You know, I don't know if this is right or wrong necessarily, but I think that it's helpful at times to examine your life and your heart and behavior, and think in terms of what will people say, what will people think about it when I'm gone, when I'm dead. You know, what are they going to think? And what I see in the secular world is people are so driven to be remembered. They, you know, God has set eternity in our heart, but they're so desperate to be remembered. They want their name on a bridge, or their name on a highway, or their name on a building.
Their name on a pew.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we get to have your chairs back when you go? So, you know, what are people going to say about you? I hope that we get to the point where they look at our lives and how we went through it, and they recognize We were serving Jesus. We were following Jesus. Even in the times of suffering, we were still looking unto Jesus. We did not walk away from him, and we continued to do the things that he wanted us to do. And I hope that's what people see in us.
Seven.
Okay. That, I was also going to say.
Attention today.
Yeah, it's kind of like the other one is baseball cards. You know, they have baseball cards of all these old baseball players and all their statistics and everything, and you know, just a few people remember them, but everybody else has forgotten them. You know, they were a hero, they were a star, and they were forgotten. So no matter what we're doing in the world that brings acclaim, eventually it's forgotten. So let us do what really counts, and that is pursue God.
Amen.
Go then, eat your bread in happiness, and drink your wine with a cheerful heart. Yes, we said that here in church. For God has already approved your works. Let your clothes be white all the time, and let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love, all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life, and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. Here again, you know, divorce seems like an easy way out, but it's not. We go through times in life, and it's difficult, and it's trouble. And this is not to say that there should be no boundaries or anything like that, but it's to say that, you know, maybe if we keep pursuing and keep sticking into that relationship, I mean, you guys have been married, what, 46 years or something?
Yeah. What, how long was yours?
33. And Bob is like 76 or...
46.
Okay.
We've only been married 30 years here.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, I said 33.
Oh. Well, those extra 3 years sure went fast.
Just seem long. Yeah.
Put up with you, it says right here, put up with your husband's bad memory.
You know, a long time ago, I was sitting wine firing pot thing with my mom and all that. She told me that there was one time that dad made her so mad that, you know, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, well, she hopped the train and went back to Pennsylvania, and her mother kept her there for the weekend, put her back on the train on Monday. You may bow before God and friends and family and everything else, go back and make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, they lived until she passed away.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. In other words, once you get to the grave, you can't be doing the things that you can be doing in the physical life. You know, God, you know, Joel's asking for volunteers to serve here at the church. God is saying too, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. And what better thing to be doing than to be serving God in some way? And, you know, even if you volunteer once a week or once a month, you know, that's a start. And then you can start to see your relationship and God grow and where it goes from there. Whatever you're doing, if you have a business or you're an employee, you know, do it as unto God. You know, make sure that God is leading you, that you are standing for his values, that you give credit to God, that you have your eyes open in the environment that you're put in to see people's heart and maybe counsel them or draw them to the Lord. All right, 11. I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to the men of ability, for time and chance overtake them all. In other words, how much control do we really have? We think, you know, we can do things. We think we can be so good to impress God to be saved. We think that we can demonstrate our goodness by the things that we do. But no, it's only through faith in Christ.
Well,
Moreover, man does not know his time. Like fish caught in a treacherous net and birds trapped in a snare, so the sons of men are ensnared at an evil time when it suddenly falls on them. So let us start today to live every day as if it's our last day, as if Christ was going to return, or if tomorrow just happens to be the day that we physically die. Let us live each day as if it's the last, with that kind of passion, that kind of energy, that kind of direction, that kind of letting go of the past, letting go of those things that are holding you in bondage. Don't let the past control you. We don't know what the future is going to bring. We don't know how we're going to die. Let us not be fearful. 13, also, when I came to see his wisdom under the sun, and it impressed me. There was a small city with few men in it, and a great king came to it. He surrounded it and constructed large siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he delivered the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. The words of the wise heard in quietness are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. So even here, when we think that we're communicating wisdom to others and it's not appreciated, it's not accepted, people don't see it. You know, the wisdom that we have, the wisdom of God, and we share it with others, and it's not received or it's belittled or mocked. You know, just remember these chapters here. You know, God sees, and God's going to straighten things out when he comes, when we stand before him, as we live in the kingdom. Any comments or input before we close up?
We all know we're going to die, be put in a grave. But Jesus says, he who believes in me will never die.
Will not perish. Yeah. So it's important to know what our eternal life looks like, where it's going to be. Amen.
You never know how the Lord's working. I was reading in Exodus how Pharaoh, God made it so Pharaoh wouldn't say, let the people go, because he wanted the miracles to be shown happening so that us now could see and hear about that. And at first I'm thinking, gosh, he's making it so he wouldn't. So you never know. He could be making me do something so other people could see it when I didn't really want to, but, you know.
Amen.
Amen.
I see that a lot too. I have multiple sclerosis, and I shouldn't be walking or seeing. And nobody knows that I'm sick, and it's because I had an episode where I couldn't. When I first was diagnosed, 2019, and I couldn't. There was a lesion on my pons, and I couldn't walk. It just happened all of a sudden in 1 week, and then I could see, but I could see lots of you. And I see how God healed me. I remember being in the hospital crying that I would never jump on my trampoline again. I know it's silly, but I see how God's miracles happen, because people are like, are you sure you have MS? And I'm like, oh, I'm sure. And it's not it's not medication, it's not anything. God put these things in my life that helped me. But it is him, and by his power, because there's a lot of people who were in my position who were, never recovered, but I see how God's worked in my life in that way. It's huge.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
No.
In the New King James Version, it says vanity instead of futility. I know they could be considered the same, but I think when you say vanity, doesn't it make it seem more like a selfish thing? Why be preoccupied about what you can do? Knowing you're going to die, do something for God, because it's vanity to do it for yourself. Yeah. Futility makes it seem like it doesn't matter if you do one or the other, because it's futile. If it's vain, then you know these things. Don't do it for yourself. Do it for God. Do things for him, not yourself.
And vanity disappears. It's like a wisp of wind.
Right. Well, that's the other one, too. I think it was chapter, the same chapter, but verse 6, I think it was. It says, you said the wind. And in the New King James, it says the spirit. It says that something about the spirit. So mm-hmm. I don't know why they would translate the spirit as wind. But translations sometimes get me. I don't know. So,
yeah,
well. Yeah,
that seems like a big discrepancy.
It is.
There's a big difference there.
It's a big discrepancy. Right, spirit to wind. But.
Somebody else? I saw.
I was just going to say, this reminds me of that old hymn, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus, because it is one day at a time. Because if I'm going to fall in a hole and die tomorrow, I really would rather not know it today, because I'm going to spend all day worrying about that. And another thing, it reminds me of an exhortation to parents that kids are so much trouble. They're so overwhelming. It seems like your life just is like worry and spills and runny noses. And, you know, I look back, especially to the time in my life before our daughter was younger, it's like, you know, if I could just have a couple of weeks, you know, in that time to truly, truly understand what I had. And I think it's really about mindfulness. It's like being right here, right now, as close to God as we can be, and doing the best we can in each moment.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, making sure you appreciate us, because we might not be
here.
You know, as well as I can.
Spoil you.
Yeah, Mom.
All right. Well, let's gather around and pray for one another. Sorry, Jerry, I didn't see you.